build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances, plus take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And we got a show for you guys. Pete Dunne's in action. Bronson Reed. We also got a tag team main event. Before we get into all of that, let me introduce the crew. Jack Farmer being joined by Justin Labar and Emily May. Emily, how are you doing today?
I'm good, but Jack. I have to stop you right here. You got to bring the energy up. What is up with you? Jack, it is Monday Night Raw. You got to bring the energy.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday Night Raw, baby. Let's go.
Man. That's what I'm talking about, Jack. That's the Jack I know and love.
It was hard to get through that with this straight face. I do not have a poker face for anyone who knows me even slightly well. Justin Labar, speaking of bad poker faces, fantasy football night in America here, and Jax Farmers is playing none other than Flobo Boyce's team in my fantasy league. And as we speak, this guy's winning, but it's a close one, and I dare Flobo to show up on this show. I sent him the link. And acknowledge me when my team wins tonight, Justin. Whoa. Honor on the line. He's got to do it, right?
Have he no honor? He must do it.
He must. That's what you do, Justin. How's your fantasy team doing?
Not good. I'm not going to win tonight. Not going to win. It's been a rough 24 hours in my football world. Fantasy not going well. Commanders lost by a point to. You know, I live in Pittsburgh. But I'm a Commanders fan, so my world comes crashing together of having to have those two teams face each other, and we came up short. You know, referees couldn't identify first down. It was a whole thing. It was just, you know.
Football can just move our emotions like the moon moves the tides sometimes.
I watched the end of the Houston, the Texans, and the Detroit Lions yesterday. That was rough. And a rough ending.
Yeah, when you pick the ball off five times and you still don't win, that's a rough go.
Yeah, that's a.
I saw all the depressed Texans fans at Bucky's trying to get all the food and snacks to make up for it.
Hey, but at least you're not in Dallas.
That's the worst place to be. Now, I'm lucky because my Seattle Seahawks did not lose this week. Oh, no. I mean, sitting at home on a bye week, but. Did not lose this week. Oh, no.
But there's always next week.
There's always next week to bring them right back down to earth. We're fighting for that. We're fighting hard for that number one draft pick, baby. As of now, for people who paying attention, Jax Farmers beating Flobo's team, known as the XFL All-Stars. I'm winning 92.42 to his 92.40. Let's go.
That's too close. You shouldn't be talking any trash. That's way.
Let's go, Flobo.
It is way too close. Way too close.
He better show up when my team wins. I am overly confident. Let's talk about the Flobo's fun haters. Droy J says, "I know Flobo's lurking right now because he knows
Flobo's had a tough has had a tough sport year because the Mets lost to the Dodgers to get to the World Series. So give him a little break, okay?
It's about to get worse because I'm gonna rub this in his face forever. Now, if he wins, it's just a game, Flobo. Get over it. Come on, we're just having fun."
I'm sorry, Flobo. Don't block any of us.
So let's talk a little bit about the news. We got some big news coming through here. We got some backstage details on the planned implementation of the new WWE Independent Development Program. According to Wrestling Observer, the WWE ID program is giving WWE more of a chance to keep an eye on those with potential and guide them to places that can ready them further. Saying, quote, "Now, if the idea is that they have potential, they'll be signed to deals that were described as similar to the NIL deals that they have signed college athletes to. It's not enough money to live on, but it's money, and it's a deal that basically means there's a relationship and opens the door." It goes on to say some more things like, Justin, that these deals are actually encouraging these guys and girls to actually take independent bookings still. And if another company, I'm guessing like an AEW or a TNA, offers them a deal, they can, but WWE has the first right of refusal in that situation. Very interesting program here, Justin. What are your thoughts on what we know so far?
Well, there's a lot to like about it. You know, WWE for the last decade has had a well-insulated system in place that's had a lot of focus on finding talent in general, but they look for talent in any walks of life. So, you know, Olympians, college athletes, what have you. And while there's still merit to that, you know, you would be remiss if you don't, if you just flat out ignore the pro wrestlers that have that passion and are trying to come up through the traditional pro wrestling independent system. So as you would expect with WWE, they never put themselves at any disadvantage. This deal, this entire program puts them in the driver's seat, right? They get to kind of have first right to some talent they see some potential in. They're right about allowing those talent to take bookings because you only get better by having reps in front of a live audience. So WWE saying we're going to keep complete control of your bookings. That's they don't have the time and day to keep track of that much, of that many participants in this ID program. So it's good that it allows them to get reps. If WWE's, you know, if they feel, hey, you know, this person's, yeah, they're not progressing the way we want, then they can cut them, or they can allow them to sign somewhere else, or they can allow them to sign somewhere else and say, hey, you know, look, if they sign with an MLW, that'll be some more good reps for them, and we'll come back to them in a year or two, you know, once they've had that. So it keeps WWE in the driver's seat, as they're always going to be, but it does give these prospects, you know, a little bit of cash, gives them motivation that they're being seen. Keep them motivated. Keep your body healthy. Take care of yourself. Get reps. Stay out of trouble. Stay off of social media trouble. All of the things. You keep your eye on the prize. So far, I think this has got a lot of potential for a lot of good.
One of the things I really like about it is it also, of course, the people who are assigned to this is great for them. They know that eyes are on them. It's giving them an opportunity. They're getting some guidance in how they should work to get better, to get to that next step. I also think it's great for the people who work with the people who have been signed, because obviously Jack Cartwheel recently was signed. If I'm a wrestler and I have a match with Jack Cartwheel, now I know that I'm getting a look because they're looking at what Jack Cartwheel is doing. So it's giving even more people a look, but also, Emily, it's just making that path to the WWE that has historically been so nebulous and mysterious. And, you know, you never really know. It makes it just a little bit clearer for people. And I think that that's just a very powerful thing.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know that like the WWE's like system and building talent is different than anything we've ever seen, right? And so the fact that these schools, including Reality of Wrestling, which we just had our show this yesterday, actually, and we made our official announcement for our first WWE ID talent, which was Ice Williams. So that's exciting. And I know, Jack, you're familiar with him as well. Mm-hmm. So what's exciting about this is you're building a system that helps train the whole team. So like what isn't clear, and again, I'm not going to specifically speak to what Dave Meltzer is saying because I don't know the merit behind that. To be honest, I don't know those details. Mm-hmm. But because I get to work with a company like this, we all are pushed to a higher level. We like the production team has to up their game, the producers, the agents. It's not just, I feel like it's not just talent. It's like everyone has to make sure that we're creating the best product and the best TV show. Cause we are producing like weekly television with Reality of Wrestling. So I think this program's great for everyone. And I said it when we talked about it on SmackDown and last week on some of the other Wrestling Inc. post shows, that it's just good for the industry. I'm not saying WWE is for everyone. You get there and it might be too intense, or it might not be, even though it looks like it might be the program, it might not be for everyone. So I think this is a great opportunity to learn what it takes to get there and how it all works, like just like the nuts and bolts of it all. So I think it's exciting. I know there are feelings about whether it's going to take people's opportunities away and like, and I think we just need to have it play out and just see what happens with these talent. But I know there's a lot of news to come out from these programs.
We got to let it play out, but I think one of the things we might find in terms of helping the industry, like you're talking about, Em, is that this shines a light and it kind of, you know, it's WWE giving a stamp of approval or endorsement on a reality of wrestling on a certain number of promotions and training schools around the country. But what I think is also important about that is maybe in a certain amount of time, it'll also help flush out the garbage. Because there are garbage promotions that shouldn't be running, that have no business of running, that aren't safe. That there are schools, I use the air quotes, people that are hustling and taking young guys and girls' money, improperly training them, not knowing what they're doing. And if WWE, in a sense, is starting to help, I don't want to use the word regulate, but if they are just giving a rub and identifying, and WWE has never, ever, you know, in all the years of course, under Vince's control, the indies are taboo. We don't talk about the indies. The indies are beneath us. But if now WWE on this new day is acknowledging these are quality independent shows for you fans and you performers to be engaged with, either on the consumer level or on the work level, if these schools are valid, hopefully, one, it'll let everybody start to illuminate and see the difference between quality and fake, and business will just shift towards the quality, and those fakes will just, you know, work themselves out into oblivion.
Yeah, and we've heard, like, you've heard from, like, Hall of Famers and people that have been through all types of the higher tier of wrestling that, like, you have to go to a good school. You have to start with the right people to teach you the foundations. And if you don't learn the foundations correctly from the beginning, it's hard to like get out of those habits. So sometimes you have to be stripped from those bad habits before you can start over and learn from the best. So it is a process. And so I think you're right, Justin, having the right school and having the right coaches and teachers is just as vitally important to your success. But I think it's a great opportunity for indie wrestling to be recognized, that some of the best talent in the biggest companies in the world came from this world. And I think that is important to recognize, and I'm glad that it's getting recognized.
I think it's great that a lot of these people too, that are getting signed, and people who aren't getting signed, again, I would say it's great for the people who are signed. I do think it's great for the people who aren't signed, because it also, if you are someone training and you are someone trying to make it in pro wrestling and you weren't signed, it shows you this is what they're looking for. This is the kind of stuff that they're signing. And so you can say to yourself, what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? How do I get there? Because again, before this, historically, you kind of just grinded away on the indies and hopefully you get a phone call, but you don't really know, like, is this a program that gets watched by the talent scouts at WWE? Is this going to matter? You can now see, like, oh, this is what shows they watch. This is the kind of wrestler they're looking for. These are the kind of things I need to work on. Again, instead of just going, well, you know, I've been grinding it out at these five different indie places with a few people in the audience. When am I going to get my phone call? Now it kind of helps that out. And so I think it's really cool. I'm very optimistic about it. And I can't wait to see how it pans out. And big congratulations to everyone who has been signed, and it'll be fun to watch their progress. Also, it's fun now. You can see these people like, you know, like Ice Williams, where you can say, okay, I want to watch this person. I want to watch them grow. I want to watch them now at this level and then get signed to NXT and then watch them sign in. The journey of watching these characters grow is a big fun part of pro wrestling as well that I think now is easier for fans to get on board with and know.
It's like watching, it's like discovering a baseball player in single A or double A.
Yeah.
Just getting to watch them move up the ranks. You know, that's a lot of what this, you know, could feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, and so I think it's great. And listen, WWID, you got three folks here. Yeah, I got the ID for you right here. Bring us on. This is the trio you need. This is the triple threat you want. Get us with the WWID program. Let's go. Speaking of people who are coming up, making it in the world, Roxanne Perez with some big words. She said on In the Click, she's asked about the four horsewomen, and she believes the new four horsewomen are her, Roxanne Perez, Cora Jade, Stephanie Vacker, and Julia, saying, quote, I feel like we're a little alike in different ways, in the same way being that we have always wanted to be part of WWE since we were young. We've put in those years, those thousand hours to become great, and now we're able to be part of the greatest women's division in the world. I think that has a lot to do with us four women. Emily May, big comment to say the new four horsewomen, but does young Roxanne Perez have a point? Are they the new four horsewomen? Do you agree across the board that they are the new four horsewomen and all four of them are the four that are the right pick?
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's so hard because like I mean, you could say they are the new four horsewomen. You could never replace obviously the original, but I think it's a bold statement from Roxanne. We know Roxanne has been just obviously breaking records since joining NXT. I find it interesting that she paired Stephanie and Julia, who are new signees to NXT, even though they have conquered like the wrestling world globally. I found it interesting that she paired them together, even though they're newly signed. I mean, I love them both. So I'm like, yeah, let's have all four of them together. Incredible. So I agree. Like, I think it's awesome. She's making these bold statements, and it's only a matter of time where all four of them are going to be taking over even more.
Yeah, Emily May makes a great point, Justin Labar. Shots fired at the locker room by Roxanne Perez, right? I mean, unless you're Cora Jade, she's like, listen, you're not on our level. You're garbage. No, she didn't say that. I'm just trying to stir the pot, Justin.
Well, let me ask.
You're always stirring the pot.
Well, let me ask Emily, because she just said, not the – who is the original? Is the original Becky, Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, or is the original Ronda Rousey and her group? Who is the original that you're talking about?
I mean, I feel like the people, like the original is like Charlotte, Sasha. Like, I feel like that's what everyone thinks when they think of the four horsewomen. Other people are gonna, we're gonna have a battle here in
that's
the chat.
That's why I asked you. I wanted you to be
that's what I think, but, you know, others might have opinions.
I mean, I don't care. I don't mind her making this comment. I don't make grabs attention. We're talking about it. It's fun. I guess my thing is, it's like, especially when you approach this time of year, when you have Survivor Series, if she was laying this kind of foundation and just trying to get that, you know, just trying to plant those seeds, that'd be one thing. But like, we don't have everybody available for the four horsewomen. With Sasha over in AEW as Mercedes, we don't have Ronda Rousey and her crew. Yeah. So it's not like you're. I mean, things can always change, of course. But I'd be more excited for her saying this if I thought like, ooh, are we like trying to lay the groundwork for like the ultimate, you know, Survivor Series kind of match? But that can't be done right now. So.
Well, what I also was wondering, like, Jack, you mentioned that, like, she's firing shots at the locker room. And I was like, she picked two of the newest NXT signees and not anyone that she's been with for a few years. So I was like, ooh.
Take that, Fallon Henley. I'm just joking.
I was like, oh, like, you made me think, like, maybe people might be upset by this. Like, why am I not included?
Yeah, take that, Tiffany Stratton. Take that, No, I think it's great. I think
it's just the Mean Girls gif of you can't sit with us.
You can't sit with us. Yes.
You didn't wear pink.
It's very you're supposed to have this attitude though in this kind of world.
You should say
you're the best and that your class is the best. That's exactly what she should be saying. I just make fun. I'm just teasing with the whole, you know, taking shots thing. But question for the chat, question for all the comments in the YouTube section, everything else. When all is said and done, which four horsemen will be the more accomplished group? The four horsewomen of Charlotte and Bailey and Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, or this new one of Cora, Roxanne, Stephanie, and Julia? Which one, when all is said and done, will be the bigger foursome? Quad team? I was going to say duo, but quad team? Quadro?
Double quad.
Double quads. Let's talk a little bit about the Street Profits. Speaking of shots fired, backstage update on their contract status. Recently, there's been signs of discontent from the duo, with Ford admitting frustration during an interview, while Dawkins posted a cryptic tweet that may look to mean he was unhappy with the team's current standing. While this has led to speculation on the Street Profits' future in WWE, what is actually going on remains a mystery. Fightful Select reports that upon reaching out to other talents in WWE, similar talk of Ford and Dawkins being frustrated had been heard. However, no one knows if the frustrations are genuine or part of the show. Also, the contractual status of the duo is a mystery. Justin, is this a story or is this just a story?
Well, obviously, I can't know for sure, but I'd like to lean towards that this is part of a storyline, and I say that right now because there's obviously been in the last few weeks in WWE, it feels like a certain reset and push as it relates to the men's tag division, with, you know, the tag team tournament that went on, the debut of the Motor City Machine Guns, the War Raiders are back and healthy and back with a new name, DIY, maybe they're splitting, you know, but there feels like there's been a renewed attention and just, again, good fortune in terms of health and situation in the tag team division. So I'd like to think that this would then lead right into the Street Profits, you know, maybe for a repackaging or just some context of, like, you know, we're all looking at all these other teams, you know, we've been here grinding, you know, what about us? So that's my hope anyways, because I'm a fan of both guys. I'm a fan of the act, and even if they're not going to be the fun loving dancing with babies in the crowd, even if it means they got to take a turn, I still want to see them getting time and getting in the ring. So I'm going to hope for and lean for, based upon the timing of the tag division, that this is all a grand plan.
Yeah, I got a feeling that I think, again, as I was saying with Roxanne and wanting to be the best, I imagine they're frustrated not being in the tag team championship picture, not being more utilized. But at the same time, I don't think that means they're going anywhere. I think that this is more of a story thing, because they've been the Street Profits as we know them for the most part, kind of the same way for about 5 years now. And that means, Emily, I think it's time for a refresh. I think it's time for something different. And I think they're leaning into it. That's my uneducated speculation. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what my gut's telling me, because we've seen the War Raiders getting rebranded back. We've seen Motor City Machine Guns debut and win and kind of take a lot of the attention of the tag team division towards them. So I think the Street Profits are taking, I think the frustration is more story leaning. It's going to lean into the fact that they've been here working as a tag team. They want that spot. So I think it's going to lead to either some tension between them that they're going to rebrand and maybe find some path on their own individually, or repackage it, like you said, Jack, and come back stronger. Because maybe sometimes you need to go away for a little bit, take some time, restructure, and then come back stronger. So that might be what they're doing.
It just reminds me of, you know, on Wednesdays, we were talking about Orange Cassidy and how we loved Orange Cassidy, but it's time for something new from him. And I look at the Street Profits, when you look at how long they've been on national television, about the same amount of time, and they've, you know, been doing, holding the cup, doing the stir and the thing, and it's fun. I love it. But at the same time, we've seen it for about 5 years now. I think it's time for a reinvention of some kind, but we'll see.
We've definitely missed the window of any lightning in a bottle of how over the Street Profits were as a babyface group. So it's like you almost have to give them a new you know, a new coat of paint, because you had the chance to capitalize on them being one of the most over gimmicks, and it's ran its course. You're not going to be able to get back to that without doing something else first.
We got an update on Randy Orton after Kevin Owens pile driver attack. After the pile driver on SmackDown, WWE went to X saying, "Breaking: after last night's brutal attack by Kevin Owens on SmackDown, Randy Orton has been diagnosed with a cervical cord neuropraxia, if I'm saying that right. There is no timetable for his return," the announcement read. Emily, is this a story or is this just a story?
I mean, we saw this happen on SmackDown on Friday, and I was shocked to see this happen on WWE programming. We know that this move has been banned, and commentary was quite shocked as well. I don't know. It's a little, it's interesting that around this time we've had a lot of injuries. We've had Rhea Ripley out, now where we have Randy Orton out. So intriguing to see when these injuries are taking place. And Kevin Owens is on a tear, just trying to destroy everyone at this point. So they need to get him under control for sure.
Yeah, Justin, what do you think? Is there a reason we've banned the pile driver? Was Randy Orton hurt here?
Let me speak on the positive. First off, I love the usage of the pile driver. The protection it still has in this day and age, at least in the WWE world, it gets overused in other places. But I like the usage of the pile driver. That's an old school.
It means something when you use it in that way.
Absolutely, and it should. If there's different variations of it. If done well, it looks brutal. It's a little bit goofy. We're talking about this in the news block because this is obviously a storyline injury. But I'll just throw that out there in case anybody's missing that point. Cervical cord neuropraxia. That sounds to me like heavy medical jargon for Randy Orton's getting the holidays off. We'll see you in 2025, sir. You've earned it. So that's what we're getting here. Let him come back when it's time for Road to Mania. Get some more heat and juice behind KO.
Royal Rumble return.
maybe before that. I don't know. But yeah, give him Thanksgiving and Christmas off. He's deserved it. Get some juice and heat behind Kevin Owens, and that's what it is. And I like the usage of the pile driver being how they decided to do it versus, you know, we've seen Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins. They've gone through all kinds of heavy machinery and off things. So I like going back to just an old school, hey, you use this move, you're fined. I like that. It's a very old school thing. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Kwanzaa, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Merry Christmas to Randy Orton with your cervical cord neuropraxia.
Well, fun fact, Emily, I'm going to pitch you this question. I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, no.
I Googled it. Neuropraxia, is that an actual real injury?
It is
a real injury. That is a real thing, I guess, that can happen. I was like, what if, is this even real? Is this just something
they might say local medical facility in a hospital, but they're not going to make up a medical word.
Neuropraxia sounds fake. That sounds like I would make
it. I wonder if you throw me the medical jargon question. You're like, Emily.
Now,
Dr. Emily.
Now, what they might have done, there might have been three rows of sticky notes on the wall, and they went, "All right, Randy Orton." They got the first, they got the first dart. They go, "All right, Randy Orton. He's got cervical cord, neuropraxia. That's what he's got." That's how it went.
Or they did like the Wheel of Fortune clues. They're like, "All right, let's just pick some vowels, and we'll go from there."
See, I thought it was gonna be like one of those things where it's like, if you, this, your month is the first word, the month of your birthday is the first word, the day of your birthday is the second word.
Your pet's name.
Yeah, your pet's name. That's how they put it together.
And the street you grew up on.
That was your porn star name, right?
Right. Basically,
no, that was my like WWE injury name.
No, that was my porn star name. Was the street you grew up on?
Yeah, and your pet's name.
The pet's name.
Mine growing up was Harry Sixth, so that was a that was a good one.
I wouldn't be paying to see you.
You were the daytime shift, Jack. You were the daytime shift.
Yeah, you were the strip club buffet featuring.
You started at noon.
Listen,
what's that phrase that Chris Rock said?
People need to be entertained as well. Okay.
What's that phrase that Chris Rock said about the strip club buffet? He goes, titties and tater tots don't mix. By the way, if you want the visual, anybody out there listening, I'm curious if my pop culture match up. Anybody who wants the visual of what I was reenacting, throwing the darts to the sticky notes, if you ever watched the Damon Wayans classic of the 90s, Blank Man, at one point in the movie when they're trying to come up with the next headline for the rag magazine that he worked, that if you watch Blank Man, you know what I was reenacting. That's a little shout out to that 90s classic.
Fun fact, a few years ago, my friend dressed as Blank Man for Halloween, and I've been chasing the idea of a better Halloween costume.
That's a great costume. It's easy and cheap to put together, but it's so funny.
It was so good. And like, it was one of those things where everyone got it like, oh my God, Blank Man. Because you forget, who remembers Blank Man? We all do, but we don't think about it. I was like, oh my God, Blank Man. This is the greatest Halloween costume of all time. let's talk about the women's roster and whether or not they knew about the women's U.S. title that was announced. According to Fightful Select, female talents they spoke to were unaware of the WWE Women's United States Championship introduction until the day of SmackDown. Furthermore, talents do not know if Raw will add a similar mid-card title to its respective brand or if WWE will determine its inaugural title holder via tournament. Emily, this is something that people have been wanting for a very long time. We finally got it. Thoughts on this and the fact that it was a surprise to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big surprise. Flobo and I talked about it on Friday during SmackDown when it, you know, after it all happened. I think this is a great idea. I think a lot of fans have been asking for this for a really long time. I think it's a great way to highlight more female talent, get them on TV. We were discussing like who might win it for the first time, who would be a good first champion. And also we were debating whether it was going to be one of those titles that's going to be defended on both brands or, you know, Raw would get one as well. So I think that's still to be determined. But I like the idea of having it kind of transfer between brands, and I think it expands the storytelling elements and the storytelling possibilities and potentials there. But I think this is really exciting, and I would like it also to go to NXT too. I know there's the North American Championship, Women's Championship there, but I think I feel like I want it to be a more universal title that it can go kind of anywhere.
Justin, yeah, what are your thoughts on this? And I guess my biggest surprise of it, so it's something we've all been waiting for, but it seems little, but I'm kind of surprised they went with United States Championship instead of Intercontinental Championship, since the Intercontinental Championship really has more history with WWE.
Well, so that remains to be seen, you know, to what Emma's saying. Is this U.S. title going to be floating around kind of the same way that women's tag titles do? Or do they think the singles title needs to be on each brand? And do they go to an Intercontinental title on a Raw? Or, you know, look, the U.S. title is not WWE's creation. That was a title and a lineage in history they inherited when they purchased WCW. Intercontinental obviously is theirs, going all the way back to Pat Patterson in 1979 or whatever it is. So there is some that would be a bold choice and unusual for WWE, because even when they've had, you know, even that they have different world title lineages, they have their WWE world title, which Cody Rhodes holds, which Roman Reigns previously did, and that's the one that they follow their history books of Hulk Hogan and Bruno and Backlund, etc. The Universal title that was created what 7 years ago, that kind of just got rolled under somewhere, and then they created that world heavyweight title what a year and a half ago, 2 years. And even the term world heavyweight title was kind of the lineage of the big gold belt of WCW that they inherited. So I say all that as a long-winded explanation to say, if they were to create a intercontinental and have a duplicate name but a brand new lineage for the women, that would be very unique based upon how they've treated titles. So I don't know if they do create a second title, a mid-card title, if you will, for the women for Raw, maybe they don't do IC, maybe they do television title, the Monday Night Raw television title, or you know, some other title name that's been used in wrestling history in the mid-card, TV title, what have you. But the time is now for them to start adding some singles titles. I don't like too many belts. That obviously that does dilute things. However, where they are currently with the depth they have of women, and even more so the depth, because they've had depth for several years, for many years. Now, they had depth even when they tried to do that Evolution Women's Only pay-per-view. The problem was they weren't in a booking position to still present properly. Now what they're doing, and this is men and women, is they keep the PLEs tight, and then that leaves room to make big main events for advertised Raw and SmackDowns, also very important. So that's important because now you can add some other singles titles in the women's division for women to fight over and have as a focal point of a story. But even if you can't get them on the whatever PLE that month is, WWE has shown now that they can build and make that a big deal of a main event and an advertised match for a Raw or SmackDown. And so now is the time finally, I think, to add more titles because you have the depth and it gives meaning for the ladies to chase.
Well, something that we got a super chat earlier on that's kind of in the vein of all this from Terry Allen Jr. saying Raw 2 hours, 30 minutes extra time for the women. Terry Allen Jr. advocating with this super chat. Thank you, by the way, for the super chat for more time for the women to be featured. Emily, do you think this will make it easier for them to feature more women's matches, having another championship?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely. I mean, just like we've seen Candice LeRae on SmackDown get more time because she's won like the Speed Championship, so she's getting more opportunities. So more women's titles are going to be more time on television. So I'm ready for it. I think, and I think we saw once we get into the episode of Raw a little bit more, we'll see how the last 12 minutes of the show was really important, I think, setting up the women's division even more for a little bit more of these teams that are getting created and things that are going to get set up for later down the line. So I think it's always a great opportunity. We need more women at the top of the show.
Well, last question on this, Justin, is if you were a wrestler and you're presented the opportunity, what is a bigger accolade, do you think? Getting the chance, let's say they say, Justin, you can either be the next women's champion or you can be the first ever U.S. women's champion. What do you think is a bigger accolade at this point? One goes in the history books forever, but one is the bigger championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice being the first ever, but you also don't know, somebody was the first ever 24/7 champion. Somebody was the first ever European champion. Somebody was the first ever hardcore champion. And not all of those last that long. So I would say getting the rub of being part of historic company would be, if I'm the worker, would be where I would settle on that. Just based upon that's just how things go, you know.
I mean, I think it needs to be like the first champion has to be strong, has to be able to show the importance of the title. So it is very important to have a strong champion.
Look, who was the first ever WWE Universal Champion?
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. He won it at a SummerSlam and he vacated it 24 hours later. Now he vacated, of course, because of injury, not because of his performance. But my point being is and that's not even a title that's even really, they got rolled in and merged in all the Roman Empire. And so its lineage is basically just stopped. It started at Finn and stopped somewhere in Roman's 600 or however many damn days. More than that. Got 1,000 days. 600 was Gunther and IC. So my point being is Finn was first of that title and that title basically has disappeared. It's gone. And do you look at Finn and do you see him with that great accolade? I would. While it's cool to say you're first, I'd rather roll in under the decades of history to be part of that lineage.
Smart. I think that's probably the smart long-term plan there. Cause there's a few that have been forgotten, but we'll see if this one is forgotten. Something that you guys definitely should not forget to do though, is comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review with a little comment on Apple Podcast. Always appreciated. If you're here with us in the chat, like Ricky or GMO or Tut Graf or Tony Kaname Kieran. I think I always say your name wrong, Tony. I apologize, but I try my best, and that's all I can do. Killer of Demons, Quadarius Bennett, Danny Cochran, Tommy O, a lot of folks here. I wish I could shout you all out, but I just can't. Too much time, not enough time. But I do appreciate y'all being here. Thank you so much, JT098 and Leonard Jones, coming in late to class, I see. Let's talk about WWE Raw.
We all know a great worker when we see one, and that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two oil field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now. Because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
I want to talk first about Gunther, who comes out, but before he can say anything, Damian Priest hits him with the old 8-mile rabbit trick and uses all of Gunther's material against him before Gunther can. Ludwig Kaiser comes out and has Gunther's back, but Gunther doesn't want the help. Kaiser eats a knuckle sandwich, and Gunther is sent to the back. Later, we get Ludwig Kaiser versus Damian Priest. Kaiser makes a fight of it, but eventually the number one contender gets the dub. Justin, this one was it was interesting. I think it felt like they knew we had a preconception of where they were going with it and sort of cut it off at the pass, much like Rabbit in 8 Mile, for those who remember that movie, which is now shockingly old when I think about it.
It is a great reference. That is how B-Rabbit wins his final battle. All the things that Free World was going to throw at him. You know, Papa Doc had nothing.
Right.
About 2002, Jack.
I know. I'm stuck there. I'm sorry.
First off, I want to give a shout out to Damian Priest. I think it's kind of amazing again that he I think he's more over now than he was when he was World Heavyweight Champion. And that's not often the trajectory of what happens when you lose a title. I feel like he is, at least. To the whole stuff with Gunther and Kaiser, I appreciate this approach of what seems like a potential Gunther slow walk turn. It's kind of like you're planting seeds, and what seed do you want to water? Because this could easily be like a red herring. Let's use a wrestling term. This could be a swerve, bro. And we could all, and at the end of the day, as we think Gunther's walking towards the babyface side, he could end up, him and Kaiser could be back on the perfect page, and Gunther could be more ruthless than ever, right? So they could do that. Or if you want to water the seed of, hey, we want Gunther, you know, we want him to be cheered by the fans so he can have heel opponents, I like this slow walk approach, because if he turns babyface in one night, in order to make that happen, I would fear that maybe you soften his tough guy image, because he is a tough guy. But by doing this, where he's kind of like walking the line of like, he knows he's still a badass, but he's also okay acknowledging good competition, and that allows fans to feel okay cheering him. Mm-hmm. Like, that could be a big thing. And then if he does officially move sides and is officially on the babyface side of the locker room. Well, look, one of his first opponents, logically, would be Kaiser. And that then elevates and helps Kaiser's stock on the heel locker room. So I like all the seeds being planted here because it seems to only boost everybody.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about Gunther because it's also, one, because it can go in two ways. I don't know what's going to happen, which leaves the outcomes more interesting. It makes me more interested in seeing it. But also, I love the way they're approaching this with Gunther, where he's not suddenly just like, I lost to Cody, so now I'm a changed man, you know, but this is kind of in his wheel. He's always been about respect the ring. He's always been about respect competition. And so this is in line with his character. It makes sense. It's not just, you know, if there's a heel turn, the joke is always they just come out and say, you people turned on me, you know, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Well, this actually fits who he is. Emily, I want your thoughts on all this as well, but also I want your thoughts on Kaiser. And I feel like they've been ready for him to do big things for a while. He was in there with a former world champion, could be the next world champion. Did it feel like Kaiser belonged in that match with a Damian Priest? Did he feel like he was at that level?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seemed like he belonged there. He had, you know, we've been waiting for like this big moment, right? And they've been, you talked about kind of planting the seeds, and like they've been planting kind of this, this back and forth, right? So I think Damian Priest was actually kind of the perfect person for Ludwig to get this opportunity against. And I liked what Gunther did here because he didn't just come out of Crown Jewel and say, like you mentioned, Jack, he didn't just come out and be like, oh, this happened to me. Like, he didn't blame himself. He didn't blame other people. He was like, this is what is going to happen. And his promo skills on the mic have improved so much. Like, I felt the emotion and like the frustration tonight, and it just, it was a great interaction to kind of like open the episode and really like plant the feud for later. Because Gunther still has that relationship with Ludwig Kaiser. He still, you know, they still have that connection, that history. So it's like, you can never really lose that. So you felt that, you felt that emotion. In kind of response to Ludwig Kaiser, like, he needs big matches like this, you know, against people like Damian Priest. Eventually, obviously, they are building to a Gunther, like something bigger. But you have to work your way up to it. So it's a step ladder, right? So you got to work your way up. But it is coming, and I know it will be a big moment for him.
You know, these guys, they remind me a lot of, you know, when you talk to different generations of fans, there's like, yeah, Hogan was the biggest star, but I loved Bret Hart and Kurt Hennig or Mr. Perfect. And, you know, I think later on you have different versions of that, where like, these guys were the biggest stars, but I was always a fan of these characters. And I could imagine in 10, 20 years, people saying, yeah, you know, when I was a fan, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, they were the biggest stars, but I really love Damian Priest. I really love Gunther. Those are my guys. I could see them really being those kind of guys that in the future, clearly Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns are the guys, but I feel like these are the guys that a lot of fans are going to actually connect with going on into the future, that they'll look back on really fondly of. Great stuff from both of them. I think Tuck Graff said it had an interesting point here. Said Gunther played it a little dumbfounded to Priest. His personality took a stammer. I thought that was kind of an interesting way of phrasing that. Someone whose personality jumped through a few hoops for us tonight, The Miz, came back and said he's taking a leave of absence, but Karrion Kross wanted none of it, was dragging Miz to break his leg in the ring. The Wyatt Six show up, but Miz uses a steel chair to attack Rowan and the Final Testament, decimate this once unstoppable team. Justin Labar, dare I say, this was my absolute favorite Wyatt Six Final Testament moment. And Miz, I mean, Miz has a long career, but I love this. This was everything this whole thing needed, Justin.
I'm going to disagree. I'm a...
Oh.
I'm a fan of the Wyatt Six. I don't mind magic. I don't mind the spooky. I don't mind all that. I never have. In my opinion, the mistake on paper, what they did on paper, when you write the bullet points of Miz and Cross are gonna do the charade to lure in the Wyatts and then attack them. That's great. That's exciting. I didn't like the execution. My Monday morning quarterback would be this. Have only Cross and only Miz get to the ring. And obviously they're in on it, so you can just sell that Cross can just, you know, bully and manhandle Miz himself to the ring. And then that draws the Wyatts in. The Wyatts appear. And now it looks like you have the Wyatts standing across from just a Karrion Kross. Oh, crap. And then Miz behind their back with a chair, plus AOP coming in, plus Scarlett coming in to neutralize Nikki. That would have gone off better in terms of the Final Testament being, you know, sadistic heels doing this outsmarting. And it would have gone off better for the Wyatt Six that they got sneak attacked by the numbers from behind. Because the way that this was executed tonight, where the Wyatts are standing opposite right there of AOP, Scarlett, and Cross, and it's just Miz that hits him from behind, it's still equal numbers. But the Wyatts got put down very easily. And this is a group that has been looked at, you know, all the production and hoopla has made them look very good and very mysterious. And look, it's still over with the fans. The moment that those lights dim and the music starts to hit and the lights, you know, get, like, everybody's up, they got their phones out. So people are still into the gimmicks. So it's not dead in the water by any means. But when it was all said and done, I was like, man, the Wyatt Six, for how well protected they have been up to this point, they got pretty easily handled by the Final Testament, who hasn't looked that great up to this. This was a big moment for the Final Testament, but I feel like it really hurt the Wyatts. If the execution just would have been done, again, in my opinion, more so what I just suggested, it would have made more sense. But
interesting. We rarely ever disagree, Justin. I'm disappointed because I loved it. I felt a little bit like there was a level of Ravens flock with the Wyatts here, like knowing they're getting beat up, but like, yeah, but this is just setting the tone a little further for us. Emily, I want your thoughts on all this, and I also want your thoughts on my opinion here, which is the Miz is not the bad guy. The Wyatt Six are the bad guys in this situation. What say you?
So the moment the Miz came out on screen, was talking to Karrion Kross, I was like, how did he get released so quickly? So all of these thoughts were going through my mind. And I was like, he has been told to do something. He has been told to do something by the Wyatt Six. And something is going to happen. So I was right. Since we're referencing quite famous movies, the Manchurian Candidate came to mind.
Speaking of, we're keeping this nice and old movie reference. I love this.
I was like, oh, he is the Manchurian Candidate. He's coming in. He's going to try to take out.
Don't look now. We're all over the age of 30.
nothing past 2005.
Disaster, right? So I had an inkling, right? So you are right, Jack. The Miz is just a puppet. It's just the catalyst is the vessel in which the Wyatt Six are using against the Final Testament. But I'm gonna say this, Jack. I do like the Wyatt Six, but I feel like I'm gonna side partly with Justin on this, that because the Final Testament have not had a lot of big wins, the Wyatt Six have been dominating in the sense of like they have this powerful, ethereal, kind of crazy factor, right? That they've been taking over social media, been posting things, been breaking into the broadcast, you know, putting up their promos. Like they have this power over the WWE universe. And it has to continue in the puppets they're using with the Miz. I think they're going to add a few more. I think it's just the beginning. But it's hard to execute it in this live setting within this big arena for it to come across in the way that we want it to.
And let me just, again, since we're going back to 90s, but I'm going to stick with wrestling here, to kind of put a cherry on top of my logic is, so let's go back to the 90s in WWE when you had, you know, when you had Mankind, okay? You had a spooky character or a deranged character, you know, and how did you start to defeat Mankind if you're the Undertaker? You popped up out of a cask, or you came up through the buried alive grave. Like it was a surprise factor. Or Kane. Kane was this. He had supernatural powers. He was the brother of the Undertaker who was burned and we thought was dead. And how did Undertaker at times beat Kane? Undertaker would dress in a Kane mask and come from, or he would come. You know, he'd rise above. It's like the Wyatt Six, it's like they had the supernatural thing to them that it just seems weird to me that they can stand across from the ring from their opponents, look them in the face, and then get beat down so simplicity. And it wasn't like the Final Testament brought in some crazy gimmick or some crazy whatever. All it was some chair shots and some finishing moves. There was nothing, you know, so that's why I say, If they would have lured them in, if it was just Miz and Cross and then the numbers game in a surprise attack, it just would have seemed more, you know, acceptable of how the Wyatt Six, who, remember, on their debut, they bludgeoned the entire backstage.
Murdered.
You know, yeah, it's a Monday morning quarterback thing. We had the luxury of sitting here and, you know, they had to come up with the idea. They had to execute it. They did. We had the luxury of playing second guess and saying, okay, it didn't work this way. It would have worked better this way. I fully recognize that. So I'm not trying to, like, you know, say that I would have done a better job, but having seen what they gave me, this is my response to that. It's just, here's the difference I would have done now.
Well, you get the win because everyone in the chat is agreeing with you. Emily agree with you. I'll take my loss. Where I won't take a loss is in fantasy football, where I have officially defeated Flobo Boyce, and I wait for him to show up on this show and acknowledge me.
No, Flobo, I'm sorry.
But I gotta say, again, Miz was the good guy. Miz was attacked by them and kidnapped. We should be cheering him fighting back, if anything.
But the crowd did not want the Miz got cheers.
He was kidnapped and brutalized. Like, this is, we should be cheering for him.
Not cheering for him, but like they were like, the Miz sucks. So, you know, that sucks for him.
And they let him go. It's not, they let him go.
They didn't really let him go. You think he's going to be okay? No, brainwashed him.
The Six had it coming. They had it coming. They deserve it. They
brainwashed him. He's going to have to go find
them. I'm sorry, Em. It's been a few years since I've been held captive. I forget how these things go. I mean, come on.
We've got the Usos. They are trying to find a fifth member for the team with Sami Zayn. Sami asks Seth Rollins, and Rollins tears the whole idea down. Rollins also tears down the idea of teaming with Solo Sikoa, but Jimmy talks to Bron Breakker, who's all ears. Justin, who's the fifth man?
This is a great question. This really actually is some level of suspense, because you could make an argument that Seth Rollins is going to continue to be courted, and he's got great history with Roman. You know, you can also make a case of, like, Cody Rhodes. He understands that the Solo bloodline needs to be stopped, and so there's that there too. So I like this. But here's what we're not talking about. The hunt was on tonight for who's on Roman's babyface side as the fifth person. Who's the fifth person in Solo's bloodline?
Yeah.
Who is that? Is that, I mean, like, do we get like a rogue Kevin Owens who becomes a member for a night just because he's all about the cause? Or do I dare say, I mean, it is Survivor Series. It's one of the traditional big four. It's in Vancouver, I believe. And Vancouver's a pretty quick trip from Los Angeles. And I mean, does the final boss come in and sit back and command the troops? Like, that's the bigger deal. Wait, there's some babyface options. Mm-hmm. But who's Solo's fifth?
I popped so hard when Sami Zayn insulted Solo Sikoa. That was freaking amazing. Can we talk about that?
Sammy or Seth?
Oh, Seth. Sorry. Yeah, Seth. Seth did.
The wannabe Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just was so good. And I feel like the crowd's behind it too. Like, so you know that he's not going to change his mind. It's too deep. It's rooted too deep.
Yeah, I would have been a little disappointed if this is where I love current WWE, is that Seth Rollins is still not a fan of Roman Reigns. And he's not just going, okay, well, I guess since you're on the other side of the locker room now, we're pals. I like that he didn't want to help out Sami Zayn, who, again, just trying to tear teams apart. This Sami Zayn can't help himself but break people up. But Bron Breakker is fascinating to me for a lot of reasons, like Sami Zayn and Jey Uso both have some bad history with Bron Breakker, but Bron Breakker versus the other bloodline, come on, that would be awesome. But Justin, you make a good point. I don't know if I think everyone's mind immediately goes to The Rock, but The Rock can't be coming back for this.
Like, well, you say that.
He has two movie openings.
The guy can make his own schedule. But here's what I doubt The Rock for is. I say Vancouver because Vancouver is an easier flight from LA, and Vancouver is a film, like whatever. But like, this would be War Games. This does require a certain amount of physical. Is a Rock really? I mean, if he's sitting up in his ivory tower, you know, playing chess, but the fifth person is gonna have to get involved. So that's why that's the only reason that I hesitate on The Rock. I don't see Solo introducing another new family member this quickly. So I do think whoever Solo gets, the same way whoever Sammy gets, it's going to be somebody that they bring in for some reason, a Cody or a Seth. It's going to be somebody they, you know, and maybe Paul Heyman steps in and Paul Heyman, the wise man, helps make the pitch. So whoever they bring in is somebody they're bringing in and understands the cause. Solo has to do the same thing. Whoever Solo has the fifth, you know, I'm thinking Kevin Owens is the first that comes to mind. If Roman's group got Sammy, or excuse me, I'm sorry, if Roman's group got Seth, Solo recruits Bronson Reed. Like whatever it is, it's going to be a wild card. That's going to be part of the dynamic. Is the wild card of the fifth on each team.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, while The Rock would be very cool, I think The Rock as final boss, probably controlling Solo. That's probably coming down the pike once we get into Mania season here.
Yeah, I feel like the final boss would be more of the puppeteer than the person, than that fifth member. I think he's the one moving the chess pieces around more than anything. But I think we're going to have a lot of build in the next few weeks, identifying who the fifth members will be for each team. But it has to be someone that can be that kind of strong person, like Justin said, physicality. Maybe they need another like strong, really strong person that could be like the strong man in the group.
Yeah, we got a few comments in the chat as far as like, does Drew still hate the Romans bloodline? We got a Brock Lesnar potential guest there. Whoever Solo brings in, assuming that they need to have a big. They need someone who can look the part because Roman is such a star. Jay is such a star. Sammy is a star. Jimmy is beloved. No offense to him, but not quite on the same level as where those other guys have been, but still a well-known star. If you, especially thinking like a Bron Breakker or someone or a Cody as people are, and then you're standing there against the other guys, like you need someone that looks like they match that, like a Drew or a Brock or a somebody to level that out. Otherwise, it feels very lopsided.
Well, it does make sense. I think Brock's still persona non grata until a lot of stuff gets flushed out on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they were in Grand Rapids tonight. They actually were filming two Raws tonight. They filmed next week's Raw too.
Yeah.
And I don't want, and don't chat, I'm dead serious. I don't want spoilers of next week. I don't want that. I like to live in the moment. But what we did see tonight was they made, you know, Carlito and Dom versus War Raiders. They made Sheamus versus Braun. They made the match of Seth is going to get Bronson next week. So I don't know what's going to happen with Seth and Bronson. But that would be something I could see. if Sammy and Roman's group could recruit Seth by some magic, so you know, and like Bronson still wanted to get his hands on Seth, and Adam Pearce said no, Seth versus Bronson, you guys are done. You've caused enough havoc, whatever. And if Bronson thought that was his way in, was to get Seth, to get his hands on Seth, and like that's how Solo recruited a monster like Bronson, that would make sense logically, and that would elevate Bronson. Then all of a sudden, Bronson is involved in this main event. So, you know, like, so again, we have to see how next week's Raw plays out. And again, I don't want to know, so don't tell me. But I think that's an interesting kind of, again, dynamics, because it's going to be something. It's either going to be Seth on one team, so Bronson on the other, or it's going to be Cody's on this team, Kevin Owens on the other. It's going to be some kind of, again, wild card, you know, face versus heel.
Yeah, I absolutely. Speaking of wild cards, we had Kofi Kingston versus Pete Dunne. Set up here as Kofi tried to stand up for R-Truth earlier in the night. Woods tries to help Kofi during the matchup. Kofi takes exception to this and ends up losing the match, causing Woods and Kingston to continue to argue. Justin, again, we're seeing the continual break of this team, but I thought it was interesting. Xavier Woods wearing a Baron Corbin shirt in this one.
Yeah, nice touch. You can tell we're in a different day and age. The previous management would never let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, look, the timing's fun. We're approaching the Survivor Series 2014 was about the start time of the original New Day. So we're at the 10-year anniversary, which is just, that's an eternity in today's WWE, this era. But I asked both of you, and I asked the audience, we're teasing towards Woods at the heel turn. Maybe it happens. Maybe a total 180 swerve happens and Kofi turns heel. Maybe Big E is cleared, which would be great. And like he comes in the fold. And that, like, I don't know. But I ask you this. If New Day is destined to break up, if one of them are splitting and going to have this dastardly heel turn, at this stage in any of their careers, is that going to elevate any of them? Aside from the oh crap moment when one of them finally just stabs the other one in the back, which again they're teasing very hard to. Aside from, I guess, the one off match that then needs to happen, like are they gonna be any better off? Is Xavier Woods as a heel gonna all of a sudden be on this heel run? Is Kofi Kingston gonna be like, that's what I'm really wondering. Is like, I appreciate that we're timing this up to a 10-year anniversary, and that can't be an accident. But I just really wonder, is anybody going to be elevated out of this at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't imagine. Yeah, after this matchup, let's say Xavier Woods turns on Kofi, beats Kofi, and then he moves on to his feud with whoever, Seth Rollins. I don't know if I see him differently at that point in the game. Emily, this is a breakup, or maybe not breakup, that has been going on for quite some time. I am firmly in the camp of I don't think they should break up. I think much like John Cena was a good guy for so long, he shouldn't turn anymore. I feel like that's where New Day is. What are your thoughts on the New Day split? And also, Pete Dunne was not the bad guy here. I mean, R-Truth, disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, keep saying, call me by my real name, and R-Truth won't do it. Pete Dunne had a point. He's being disrespectful. I think Pete Dunne is the good guy here.
I mean, Pete Dunne's been kind of going all over the brands in recent months, trying to, you know, stir some trouble. He's kind of that guy that can, like, step in at any point and get things done, Jack. But in response to New Day, I think it's a long time coming. I think it is going to be difficult, you know, if and when they do break up, to see that heel turn and to see it's... A heel turn can have a lot of heat and a lot of build, like, and a lot of momentum in the beginning. And then it's like, how far can it go, right? And they're both very likable. So it's like, you have to make sure that it has to be a big moment. It has to be legit. It has to feel important, and it has to be elevated. You can't just have a heel turn to have a heel turn because, like, they're breaking up. Like, it needs to be emotional and a big moment. So this anniversary show, this, like, 10-year celebration, this has to be either someone, like, it has to be a full-on like distrust and backstabbing, and it needs to make the fans believe that they're no longer, and they're never going to get back together again. They're done. If that's the direction they're going, I think they're building to that, but it's been going like this build's been going on for a long time. So I think the timing is kind of perfect for that to happen. Cause it's a new era in WWE. I think the new day needs to like turn that chapter. And you know, see where that goes, but it has to be really good for it to be effective.
Well, speaking of tag teams that are teasing potentially breaking up, the team of Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, the women's tag team champions, put the titles on the line against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax try to get involved, but Naomi is there to even the odds, and the champs retain. Post-match, Nia tries to cause some damage, but Io Sky cuts her off with a good guy standing tall. Emily, I'm going to go back to you on this one. I thought this was a fun main event, and while I don't know if there's a whole lot of story that really comes out of it, good guys got the stand tall. Just a fun way to end the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun way to end the show. I think they're building to a potential Survivor Series, something here. Cause I feel like you wouldn't have all of these women come out, have Nia Jax make a statement with obviously her and Tiffany are kind of up and down right now. And have that big tableau at the end of Raw if there wasn't something down the line. So obviously Justin alluded to it. We don't know what happened on this pre-taped Raw. And then, you know, we're going to have a few episodes before Survivor Series. So we'll see where this goes, but you know, the tag teams retain. So again, I know we talked about that entrance. I feel like we've seen the tension between Jade and Bianca building. So if they keep winning and they're adding like new alliances to it, I'm wondering if that's going to be a factor in when or if they have some problems in the future.
Yeah, JT098 is predicting we get a women's War Games match.
Yeah.
Justin, would you like to see two War Games matches? But I would like to see an old school Survivor Series match on the show, personally. What do you think? Should we get a second War Games, or would you like to see the old school match come back?
No, you only get one War Games, and we all understand that the bloodline is where that stipulation falls to. the main event tonight with the women was the same as I felt the main event of NXT was last Wednesday. It was a showing off of how filthy rich we are in women's talent, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like Em said, the underlying thing to watch here is we are slow teasing Bianca and Jade, which, you know, is probably going to line us up in Mania season for something big. I don't need to see War Games here. I am excited, as you said, that this probably is a build to a traditional Survivor Series match. And the reason that I'm excited about that is I have long said for the last 10 years at least that I thought, and I'm a November baby. My birthday oftentimes falls around Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor Series was my first WWE pay-per-view I ever went to live. 1995, Diesel versus Bret Hart. So I have a soft spot for Survivor Series. But in the last 10 years, I've said this over and over. Survivor Series is an outdated concept. I thought for the longest time, Money in the Bank moved itself into being the big four. Survivor Series got bumped to number five. And I say that because when Survivor Series launched in the late 80s, having eight or 10 TV talents all in the same match together, that was a big deal. Because what was your TV? Your TV was established TV star versus enhancement talent. They hit their signature moves and finisher, done. That's what TV was. And mm-hmm. So Survivor Series, the biggest moments in Survivor Series over the more recent years, in the last 25 years, had nothing to do with Survivor Series rules. It had to do with Shawn versus Bret in a singles match and a screw job. It had to do with who hit Steve Austin with the car. It was Rikishi. Mm-hmm. He did it for The Rock. It was a lot of things that had nothing to do with the Survivor Series concept because the Survivor Series concept was outdated. And so I like that War Games brought an element back to Survivor Series that made it matter. And then even in a match like this, where this doesn't need War Games, but these women You got a ton of them all with different dynamics and different agendas. This makes a Survivor Series match matter because you've got good guys, bad guys, but you've got Tiffany in the briefcase. Naya's looking over her shoulder at Tiff. Like, yeah, there's dynamics at play. So this brings back the life of what a Survivor Series match should be, of all these talents, all these egos, who's trusting who.
I love the old, yeah, I'm similar to you, Justin, that the old Survivor Series matches, I have a special place in my heart because those are the matches I remember the most before I knew how anything worked in pro wrestling, you know? And it was very like, well, these guys are all great. Who's going to win? How is this going to, you know? And to me, it was always so fun to watch. Just, that's the thing I remember the most of, like, well, you know, look at who's on both teams. This is going to be crazy. Who's going to win? And not, again, not knowing how wrestling works. So not even thinking like, well, clearly Hogan's on this team. His team's going to win or whatever. I was just like, whoa, this is, you know, I loved him. And so I don't know. I want him to come back. I agree with you. I think Survivor Series has been lacking for a long time, but I think now they can do it. We have a couple of segments that we're kind of to fill in here before we log out. We had Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins go at it yet again. This one's going to continue next week. Pure Fusion Collective took a hard loss to Damage Control as Dakota Kai is back. Bron Breakker and Sheamus are going to have a match for the IC Championship off the back of their clash on WWE Speed, and tensions are running high as Dom and Finn get in each other's face for the Judgment Day. Emily May, a lot of stuff going on here. Any major takeaways from these promos?
Yeah, I mean, Dakota Kai, I think everyone was super excited to see her back after her injury. It's been a few months. And I really like the Judgment Day kind of promo. Those the tensions are there. Again, I love how they had a lot of Easter eggs tonight where, like in the background of some of the promos, you just saw people kind of going around and like you could see that they're building these little things that you have to really pay attention to the segments now.
Sammy was trying to recruit.
Sammy was recruiting Rey Mysterio, and you could see Sammy like getting really upset. And like, there's little things, if you're not paying attention, you're missing those little those things. Damage Control always really powerful. But yeah, I mean, I think this kind of rounded out a lot of those seeds that they're planting. I'm excited to see Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins again. You know, they keep just killing each other. Those poor security guys tonight really got got a lot knocked out of them. They had a lot of work to do to try to keep
them. Died.
Yeah, you saw them flip over the guardrail. Bronson, yeah, dead. That shot of him and his face just like so angry, like he's just this big monster just steamrolling through everyone. And I think this is the stuff Bronson Reed excels at, so I'm excited to see more, and like it's gonna get really juicy.
Yeah, I think Bronson Reed has just found a way to continue to grow and become a bigger star without necessarily getting tons of wins along the way either, Justin. Any thoughts on this whole rundown? Again, Dakota Kai coming back, Bron Breakker versus Sheamus, Judgment Day issues.
I thought Dakota Kai looked good. So shout out to her for being healthy and back in the ring. She looked good. Pure Fusion Collective, I hate their name, but I think all three, I liked what I saw from them. They all look good, even though they got the loss, but you can still get over even with the loss. Bron versus Sheamus, very excited to see that. Moving forward again, and with Judgment, the only thing I'll say about the Judgment Day tensions is, you know, and that whole, you know, it felt like Dom, his side with Dom, who's Dom, and then Carlita, who's kind of funny. It kind of felt like Dom and Carlita were like a little bit more of the baby faces in that whole interaction versus Finn on the other side. It's like,
I felt that too.
Are the people ready to be cheering?
I mean, like, Dom gets booed a lot, so I don't know if they could ever even get them.
Mark my words. One day in the next 3 years, Dom is going to be one of the most over baby faces.
Oh,
mark my words. They will find a way. Dom will reunite. He will reunite with mommy, and it's going to be a thing.
Oh my god!
But right now, Dom is just.
I'm worried. The vignettes. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. Dom right now though is a nuclear heat magnet, so it was an interesting kind of choice. It's like, all right, well, mm-hmm. Finn, like, I'm really curious to see how the Dom Carlito versus War Raiders next week goes, because that was interesting of what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, you don't think he's starting to come around the other side? Because I know you're alluding to it, but you don't think he's getting to that point where everyone gets so hated, eventually you come out the other side and you're mm-hmm. beloved.
Sure.
You don't think maybe Dom might be getting close to the side there?
He's going to get so ridiculous to where people are going to latch onto it for good. Like, but we're not there yet. But it's a coming in the next year or two. But right now he's a heat magnet. So it was an interesting dynamic to have that the way that backstage thing went.
I've been saying Dom and Liv are not the bad guys here. I think they're the good guys in this situation.
Jack, you're gonna get heat. You're gonna get some heat. It's gonna take you 2 years to recover.
Well, this is a fun show. We've wrapped it all up, though. Everyone in the chat, let me know your overall thoughts of the show. Remember, like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. Justin, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
It was an okay Raw. Again, they're filming two Raw episodes, so they're consciously trying not to burn the crowd out mm-hmm. with what they give in the ring. So, you know, I think you have to keep that in mind. But, you know, yeah, it was certainly fine. I like 2 hours better than three. Mm-hmm. Certainly a fine Raw. We're building towards Survivor Series, which is exciting. A lot of stuff to talk about WWE, as we talked about with the ID program and everything else. I don't want to end this podcast and not give visually I was doing here everything. Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans who served in the United States. Yeah, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. A lot to be excited about. Follow me at Justin Labar across social media. And aside from with you beautiful people, I am on Busted Open every single Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon on Sirius XM. And so that's always a fun. They give us 3 hours on satellite radio where I can say whatever I want to say. That's a fun situation.
That's crazy. That is insane that they did that, by the way. Gave Justin free rank.
The FCC would allow it, but Sirius XM allows it.
Yeah, by the way, Justin, thank you for picking up the ball for me. Happy Veterans Day to everybody, and yes, thank you to all our veterans who have served. Do you guys know, by the way, Leonard asks, why are they filming a second episode? Is there an international tour? I actually don't know why they're doing
it. It's for Thanksgiving, so they're giving superstars a day off, or some time off, so I believe it's
next week?
It's next week, yeah.
Well,
wow.
Thanks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
Thanksgiving is late. It's at the end of the year, but yeah, part of the schedule was to help with the holidays.
I believe so. Yeah,
because they just did the off of Saudi. They did a European tour, so they are trying to, again, part of the new regime. They are trying to give some counteract and some time. So they did double up here for this show.
Well, very cool. I'm glad they're getting time off. It's I can avoid the spoiler, so it doesn't bother me when they're delayed. So. I think it's great that people are getting time off and getting to spend time with their families. Emily May, where can the world find you, and what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, this was, always a good episode of Raw. Lots of little seeds planted that we got to pay attention to. So yeah, it was fun. I love sharing it and talking to you all about it. You can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. I have some exciting things coming down the pipeline, so look out for my announcements there.
And, of course, I thought this was a great show, especially considering they're doing another taping right afterwards. I thought it was fun. A lot of fun stuff to chat about. We had a fun after show. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm always covering shows here on Mondays and Wednesdays for Wrestling Inc. By the way, follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news and info. Make sure to tune in on Wednesday for the after AEW Dynamite show. And, yeah, good times. Very fun show. I appreciate everyone rolling through. I'd say that does it for us this time around. I'm going to hit that end stream button right now.